Wake up.
Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call SB Nation Radio here on a Friday as we close out a week. And again, we've been talking about this upcoming weekend. It's not a gigantic one, but it's a step in the right direction as NASCAR is coming back. And there's going to be a charity golf event where you're going to get to see professional golf played. It's not a tournament or whatnot, but it's a skins game for your entertainment pleasure. We also got this weekend the finale of The Last Dance. And I want to get into what this documentary has meant to the Jordan legacy, and we'll know more about it when it's actually completed. The final two episodes coming up on Sunday. We've done 8 parts so far, 10 parts overall. I think the reviews have been outstanding. I think the documentary is well done. I've nitpicked here or there because not everything is perfect. But I've really tried to look at The Last Dance. And again, I think you should do this too with the two sporting events that we're going to have this weekend. You put it in, every time you experience anything, you always put it in context as how you're experiencing it, right? I mean, does a Jordan documentary that is aired at in June, near the end of the NBA playoffs, NBA championship, have the same impact as a quarantined nation dying for digestible, entertaining content? I mean, what are those two, how are those two parameters, right? But I do think that this documentary, if you throw out the fact that it was highly anticipated and we were so glad we got it early and we've been dying to watch something entertaining like this go down a memory lane, it is well done, even if Jordan's fingerprints are all over it. Look, I mean, nostalgia always plays. That's one of the keys to nostalgia, is that you can tap into people's desire to be young again or to experience a better time. It's one of the reasons that the, you know, Star Wars toy industry is so popular, because it's not so much kids, it's adults who want to feel like kids again. You can find that in almost every aspect of it. But how will this end? How will this look when it's over? The Last Dance is titled that because the final year that they won the championship was the last dance, right? That's the way it was. They knew Phil wasn't coming back. So how will that be portrayed in the series finale? Jordan's post-Chicago career, going to the Wizards, now with as owner of the Hornets. All of those things are going to be explored. How will it look? We'll talk about it next.
Listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Coming up at this hour, Eitan Shander is going to join us, because I want to know why he doesn't like my Dr. Fauci impression. I've never said that my Dr. Fauci impression was awesome, but he said it was awful. So I said, let's get Eitan on, and we'll talk about some other things, but I want to know why he's so anti my Dr. Fauci.
I know, man. He likes rest of them.
All right. All right. Like, what's cool about the promo that's aired for his show on our network is that he doesn't go, Tony's Fauci's all right. It's not the best. It's okay. He goes, it's awful. And I go, oh, really? It's
terrible.
Awful? It's, you know, all right. Well, we'll get his thought, but I also will talk about some other things. His idea on baseball coming back. We'll just chat about some other topics. But I did. Let's be honest. That's the main reason I'm having him on. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and try to pretend there's another reason.
Sometimes you just got to hash it out.
Right.
You know. Yeah, I mean, things like this, if you don't talk about it, they kind of fester, they eat at you.
Right, they sort of
pretty
go,
soon.
Ah.
There's, you know, uncomfortableness around the virtual workplace.
And Eitan and I had such a good time in Atlanta.
That's all out the window now.
We had a good time, and now I'm like, what? What's, you don't like my Fauci?
that's old news now.
I know, that's done. So we got to find another common ground between us. We're going to talk about this more next week when the Last Dance is done and wrapped up, and we're going to talk about the two episodes, and then we'll probably just put the whole 10-part series in context. But I did want to ask here on a Friday, as we're heading into the weekend, what
what the expectation is for the final two episodes. How do we want to see it wrapped up? This has been a Jump 23 production. I'm sure we're not going to get too much into some of the inability of the Charlotte Hornets to make an impact in the Eastern Conference his tutelage.
Do we see Washington Wizards, Jordan?
Does he gloss that over as, I just needed to get back, and maybe not have been the best idea, but it was all right?
Or does it just literally wrap up, like his career ends with the shot?
Yeah, maybe that's it, right? We're going to get into the flu game and all of that stuff, but I mean, is the post-Bulls Jordan going to be examined enough in this series? Because I think the time at the Wizards had some issues. I think the time, you know, and obviously being an owner and the criticism that he has gotten being an owner in this league. I mean, Charles Barkley has made it clear that he thinks Jordan should be doing a better job.
That's kind of been the end of their friendship.
It's end of their friendship because Barkley has been very critical, saying, listen, he's one of the greatest basketball minds we had, and he's player mind. He should be that team should be better. That team should have better talent. It should find a way to be more successful. Whether that's fair or unfair, because sometimes it just, no matter what you do on the field, it doesn't translate into a front office situation, right? It's just, we've seen guys, we've seen people do that where they've either gone into a little bit of an ownership or where they've gone into being a general manager or vice or a president of player personnel, and some has worked and sometimes it doesn't work. There's no blueprint for it.
I would say
you were a star doesn't mean it translates to being an office guy.
For every Jerry West or Ozzie Newsome.
Sure.
There is a whole bunch of guys who you don't even remember that they were a general manager or had a front office position.
I think of Dan Marino right off the bat when he was with the Dolphins. He was with the Dolphins for like 5 seconds, right? Wasn't he very, very brief? Sometimes it doesn't work.
I mean, you look at John Elway.
John Elway, yeah.
John Elway. I mean, the only thing John Elway has really done for the Broncos is he got Peyton Manning in there.
He got Peyton Manning, and he did realize defense would bring a championship, so he built that. But remember, too, even though he brought Manning, it is a what have you done for me lately culture. And even Elway has experienced the amazing criticism, even from people in Denver who will say, I love you, John, but where's our quarterback? Yeah, like the hot
seat. I would think it would be extremely hard for Denver to say, we have to fire him.
Right.
He needs to be fired.
You're drafting guys who cannot play. You're bringing in quarterbacks who cannot play in this league. Right? Like, you know, Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, right? Drew Locke is now kind of an early buzz that, you know, he might be good, but we don't know.
Is this his last chance, do you think?
I don't know. It's so hard to cut ties with, one, a guy that did bring you a Super Bowl, and two, is legendary.
Brought you two as a player.
Two as a player, took two as an executive, winning one. And is, you know, king of the state.
Went to four, right?
He went to five.
He lost three. I thought I was missing one there.
Yep. He went to five. And so it's hard. But at the same time, you know, Jordan hasn't done anything at Charlotte. I mean, he hasn't done anything. So,
but that's
we'll
a different situation. You
out.
Can't fire an owner.
Right.
And I don't think you're going to bring Jordan up on making racist remarks.
No, right? So
with Vivian.
So here's the other question, right? Which is, has this documentary, for those who went through the Jordan era, has it changed your opinion on things in the Jordan era? Or if you're new to it, meaning I've always heard Jordan was great, I always knew he won championships, but I didn't know the story.
Younger than 25.
Right. If you knew Jordan played baseball, but you couldn't have cared less what he did playing baseball, has it changed your opinion of what he actually did with the Birmingham Barons? Like, I'll be dead honest with you. Jordan went down to play baseball. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a document as embarrassing the game, quote unquote. He batted .202, did better in the Arizona Fall League. But I never heard anybody talk about Jordan making the majors until just a week ago. Like, I never heard people throughout the two decades say, you know, Jordan would have made the majors, man. If he just stuck it in baseball, he would have made the majors. That has been, at least in my world, always been one of those, you know, he tried it, you know, he left, he came back, he did good things, he did not so good things, but you know what? He did all right. But I don't remember people feeling like, this guy could be in the majors.
I don't remember that.
Now, all of a sudden, you've got like Richard Justice writing a column at MLB.com saying, yeah, he probably would have made the majors. I haven't heard this for 25 years until this was brought
and
up.
I will say this, and I think I said it. I might have said it at the time as well, that his work ethic
sure
would drive him to making the majors.
And that's
but
possible.
He wasn't going to get there on talent,
right?
Because there was none.
So
or he might get that call up, late September call up, like we were kind of hoping for Tim Tebow.
Yeah, that
it's,
just sort
it's
of
almost a gimmick in a way,
right? I still have a little issue. There's no way to fix it because he's passed. But Jerry Krause is not being able to sort of stand up for himself and give his side of the story does bother me. But there's no other way to do it unless you find interviews.
We heard anything from the Krause family?
I know. Has anybody from the Krause family said, hey guys, can we just tell our side of what our dad or uncle or what brother or however they're related to him had told us about all of this? Because it's, and here's the other thing about the documentary. I think there's something in the way they've presented Scotty and Michael picking on Jerry Krause in that sort of bullying aspect that for doing that to somebody who has passed, it's one thing to say Jerry Krause made these decisions that in retrospect were not the best decisions, right? It's one thing to say Jerry Krause liked this player, wanted to bring in this player, didn't want Phil around, did this, all of those things. Those are legit. But when they show Michael and Scotty being cruel to him when he is gone, I don't think that's a great addition to the documentary. It doesn't make Michael and Scotty look great, and it doesn't allow for any sort of context when you can talk to the guy who was on the other end of that. It just looks like a bunch of guys who didn't like him and bullied him and let the viewer process that how you want to process.
Not only that, but I mean, one of the things that this did, what this did show was how big of a bully Jordan and Pippen were.
Sure, sure.
I mean, take it a step further, not only to Jerry Krause, but remember what they did to Tony Kukoc.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, they harassed him
and so
in Barcelona.
There is an aspect of that I'm not a fan of, but I have to accept it because there's no other way to do it. I mean, we're not going to get Jerry's side of the story, but it's Michael's story. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, it's Michael's story.
I'm glad you brought that up because there have been so many times where I'm like, well, why didn't they focus a little bit more on this guy or drive off onto this guy? It's like, no, this is a documentary, 10-part documentary on Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
they dove a little bit into Pippen. They dove a little bit into Rodman. They kind of, I guess that was the kind of, for a while you start to, here's what I'm getting at. The first four episodes felt like it was a Bulls documentary.
Right, because they looked like every player was going to get his own little vignette.
And now we've moved into, no, it's a Jordan documentary.
Exactly.
And I guess that's probably the only issue that I'm having right now.
I have a friend of mine, Jonathan, and I was talking to him about this documentary, and he's younger, but he's not like, he's not 22, but he's younger. And he said something that I kind of liked hearing as a guy who kind of grew up in the 80s and watched the development of 80s basketball transform into Jordan basketball. But he talked about how he said Dennis Rodman is probably the most misunderstood athlete. And for a younger guy to say that, I thought that was important. I thought the documentary did a good service to Dennis Rodman.
I thought so, too.
Dennis Rodman is a smart basketball player. Yeah, he dressed in a gown to promote a book. Yeah, he's got, he's been hanging around with movie stars and stuff. And he's kind of this weird, he's got this weird celebrity about him. But I thought the documentary did a great job of telling his story, telling his struggles, telling his progression to the league, how when he was such an introvert at Detroit, business guy that knew his role, picked his niche, and became an expert at his niche, and how intelligent he was in doing what he was paid to do. And I thought this documentary did a great job with that. It's easy to take a guy that's got big old colored fingernails and colored hair and wears a dress and hangs out with Madonna and all these crazy times where he's going to Vegas and hanging out with Carmen Electra and go, nuts. He's not nuts. He's an incredibly smart basketball player.
I remember, during that time, you know, it was probably the same thought you had. It was like, God, this guy is just out there. He's eccentric. Sure. You know, I think I even said it before. It was like, I just always envisioned him smelling bad. Like, he just didn't shower, didn't wear deodorant, just because he had that look. Like, he just probably stinks. But I never once thought he wasn't a good basketball player.
Right, absolutely.
Like, we were able to separate the two. And I think as the younger generation grew, all they heard about were all they saw were this guy with, you know, piercings all over, tattoos all over, hair different colors, wearing a wedding dress. Then he becomes best friends with the, you know, evil dictator of North Korea.
Right, exactly.
He was like, who is this guy?
Right, just hanging out, partying.
This guy was a good basketball player, and then finally you get to see it, like, okay, you know what? He was a good basketball player.
That's right.
He's probably sitting back going, like, God, this thing was great for me.
How much film he watched, how much he studied other players, how much he studied the art of rebounding, knowing that was where his bread and butter was, and saying, better than anybody.
The cool thing about it, too, is that you know Jordan had a huge hand on every aspect of this documentary.
Exactly.
Just shows you the amount of respect and love he had for Rodman.
Right, sure. Exactly.
Even though without Rodman, there is no six champion or... What, three, four championships?
Yeah.
Rodman was only there for three of them.
All right. Coming up next, 2020 has given us a lot of problems and a lot of issues, of course, with coronavirus, but that's not the other, you know, that's not the only thing. But if you're in marketing, there might be something cool down the road. I got an idea. I'll bring it to you next. SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us. It is Wake Up Call. Thanks for joining us. O'Reilly Auto Parts help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier, so when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help find the parts and supplies you need to do the job right first time. Now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so this is not really my idea, but I'm kind of borrowing it from somebody that I saw bring this up. Which is, we know Major League Baseball is trying to get back, but eventually it will, and eventually Minor League Baseball will be back. And if you are a minor league team in need of a change of identity, hear me out, Ron, would you go with Murder Hornets as a logo team nickname? Would you be like the Knoxville Murder Hornets?
Wow.
Think about that for a second. I'm
wrapping my eyes.
There's a part of me that would be like, yes, I would.
I mean, the colors are there. The logo,
Name is kind of, it's scary, but it's
surprising. I would venture to guess that there's probably a Murder Hornets team already out there somewhere.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, I mean, why not? We have Mud Hens. Murder Hornets?
Exactly. And you know how these minor league teams are. They always like to change things up a little bit.
What's the one in
a new logo?
What's the Montgomery Biscuits?
Montgomery Biscuits, exactly. It's
maybe a step up from the Montgomery Biscuits.
So here's the thing, right? I mean, imagine if you're a team and you're like, look, because you know, one of the great things about minor league baseball is they do all these incredible, cool promotions and things like that. But I got to think if we're putting 2020 in the rearview mirror, let's say we're coronavirus is manageable and all of that stuff, and maybe there's a vaccine, who knows? And then we look back and go, you know what? Murder Hornets. Remember when we were all up in arms about Murder Hornets, and you're wearing a shirt that says the Asheville Murder Hornets, and you're like, dang right, that'd be great. I like that.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
Kind of like with a hat, with a Murder Hornet hat on it, maybe going through some letter or something, like if you're Chattanooga, and the lookouts have kind of been around for a long time, but you got a C on it and a Murder Hornet blasting through.
Well, I mean, you have, Murder Hornet mascot running through the stadium.
Right. Exactly. You know, just just creating problems for everybody. Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool if you have like a race between a bee and a Murder Hornet? Like, everybody, now let's go to the outfield where whatever we want to call you, Harry the Murder Hornet is going to be running against a couple of bees, and you get the fans dressed up as bees and they're running, and if they can outrun the Murder Hornet, they get a prize pack. But if the Myrna Hornet catches them, unfortunately, he's got to rip their head off. All right, maybe not that far. Maybe not that extreme. But, you know, that'd be kind of neat.
Maybe it rips their hat off instead.
Maybe it rips their hat off instead as a symbolic kill.
I mean, you know, it's not unheard of. There's a minor league team here in Houston called in Sugarland.
Yep.
Right outside Sugarland. It's called the Skeeters. Nobody likes mosquitoes.
Right, sure. But
you know, this is a skeeter. People, you know, and we've kind of adopted the skeeter as being okay.
Yeah, sure. It's kind of the thing.
Although, I mean, right now, Myrna Hornet might be bad, but I think give it a month or two.
Because
that's all you're going to need. It'll actually be a cool name.
Exactly. And then, you know, just all the fun angles that you could use with Myrna Hornet.
Now, bridging off your Myrna Hornet, could you have Tiger Kings?
Good point. Yeah, could you do that? Yeah, how many Tiger King promotions have to be on hold because we may not have minor league baseball this year?
And
I mean, I bet you there was promotional guys going, "Oh God, if I could get my hands on
dressed like Joe Exotic Knight."
Yes. Like immediately, I bet for the right promotion's mind, I bet 10 come off the top of his head like, "Oh, we're going to do this Carol Baskin thing. We're going to do
tonight everyone's a straight gay lover."
That's right. All sorts of fun you could do with that. But I will say this. And
you
know,
throw a baseball into big circles.
Right.
Did Carol Baskin do it? Yes or no?
Right. Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
you have the one rogue person who's going to throw it in no. Just because. Everyone looks at that one person. You're a liar.
Yeah. We've got Carol Baskin's husband's head. Is it in one? Is it in Tiger Mouth number one? Tiger Mouth number two? Tiger Mouth number three? Everybody, let's go. And they shuffle the tigers all around. And everybody goes, three. And the mouth opens his mouth. There's dirt. Yeah, oh. I'm getting a little way, you know, morbid on this. But it's still there. Now, I did not do this with the XFL because there were two teams in the XFL that I said I would buy a shirt for because I like their logo and I like, no, three, that I like the logo and I like the look. A Seattle Dragons, I thought had a really sharp look. I like the Houston Roughnecks. I thought that was a good look. And I thought the Tampa Bay Vipers looked pretty decent too. And I did not buy any gear from any of those three teams, and I should have, but
well,
you know what?
Now it's going to be too much because now they're all vintage.
They're all vintage now. You know, yeah, thanks. It's over. But I will promise, I don't care where you are and what league you play in, if you name your minor league baseball team the Myrna Hornets, I'm getting a hat and a shirt.
Yeah.
I will go online and I will buy a hat and a shirt.
And if you are having a Tiger King night, wherever you are, we're coming.
We're coming. Absolutely. Yes. Oh, yes. I would love to see that. I'd love to be a part of that.
And if you can combine the two.
Even better.
You know, we're quitting.
I know.
We're done.
Oh, now let me just say this. If it's all in good, you know, all good, you know, the Myrna Hornets never really, destroy the bee population.
You're not going to have a minor league team out of Washington being called the Myrna Hornets because they're actually dealing with the issue.
Exactly.
The only thing that's scary is that's where Corona started too. So,
yeah, no kidding.
You know, it's just a matter of time before it sweeps across the country. It goes from Washington to New York City, which would be bizarre how that would work.
Bizarre, yeah, that's true. Do you think in, like, 3 or 4 years, there will be a minor league team that will be promoting 2020 night.
Oh, there's,
you know, just being all the things that we've gone through. But because some of it is really tragic that I wouldn't want, you know, you don't want to have fun with. Because some of the things we're talking about are just like, oh, Kobe dying and people are dying of Corona.
Yeah, I don't.
But
I don't
Myrna Hornets could be one of those things where it just is one of those things we were buzzing about for a while, no pun intended. But then it doesn't. We kind of forgot about it. There's no real impact.
And listen. We're only halfway through the year.
I know.
Actually, we're not even halfway through the year. We haven't reached the midpoint of the year yet.
No, I know.
So who knows what the next 6 months will bring. Maybe we will have more Myrna Hornet type stories.
I saw
a story the other day that giant lizards were going to be invading Georgia.
Oh, boy. Giant lizards?
Giant invasive lizards. So that only means Godzilla's coming.
Okay, now I'm starting to check out of this. Giant lizards in Georgia?
Well, I think they're saying giants like 4 feet long.
Oh, I gotcha. All right, Eitan Shander coming up next. It's Wake Up Call, ESPN Nation Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. All right, so you heard me talk about this earlier, that, you know, I figured, hey, why not check in with Eitan, see what he's doing this quarantine? How's he doing? How's his show going on from 11 to 1 Eastern time here on the network? Let's just catch up with him. But that's not only the reason I want to catch up with him, because I want to catch up with him because of what he said in this promo.
The second level. The second level.
The first, and I can't get it out of my head, Tony's Fauci is awful. I think I've heard Tony do other impressions. I've heard him do voices, if you will. And they're all great. They're all on the level. But I don't know. There's something about that Fauci that's really off. This is the dueling Faucis here.
That the idea of having treatments available to facilitate the reentry of students into the fall term would be something that would be a bit of a bridge too far.
Or
we may never be able to shake hands ever again. It's more like if you have two people in a room, it's better if one of them leaves.
Tony's Fauci sounds like what the real Fauci would sound like if he were yelling.
Exactly.
The real Fauci sounds like he's been yelling at the president for the last 8 hours.
The second level, weekdays from 11 a.m. to
1
p.m.
Eastern. Awful. You like it, not even a, it's all right. It's not his best. It's okay. I mean, if you're going to come in strong, come in strong.
My man, listen, first and foremost, I definitely have rethought. Ron has been your biggest advocate.
Oh, okay.
And we replayed. Oh, actually, we had another Fauci cut yesterday. They all blend together. And we were going back and forth with Fauci and Tepper. And there was a moment where Fauci got really excited. And he said the word September. And he was really just, he got a lot more energy behind his voice. And at that moment, it did sound like you're Fauci, because you're very excitable and, you know, you right. are loud. And that's what we need in the mornings. Right. You know, you wake up, your eyes are crusty and you have cobwebs in your head and you need Tony D in your ear. So I get how loud and energetic you are and how you have to be. I'll put it like this. It sounded like how I swing every single iron, which is 100%, right? They tell you, oh, no, you put like 70% on a golf shot. And it's impossible because I don't know how to do anything but 100%. So I felt like your Fauci was just you doing, you know, Fauci. I can't imagine Fauci would ever be that excited or loud.
Good point.
But then I imagine, no, he's probably yelling at the president 4 or 5 hours a day.
What I was going to ask you is, and this is another reason I wanted you to come on, and I didn't tell Ron this, so Ron, you can chime in. I was like, is Ron playing both sides here where with me, he's like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. That sounds right on. And with you, he's like, yeah, that guy, he thinks it's great, but I think it's just awful, too. I just think it's just as bad.
Wait, are we talking about my show or your Fauci here?
Because when I hear Ron in the background going exactly, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, am I losing my show support?
I took that as a positive, right, Ron?
I purposely cut a lot of myself out of that because it's not, you know, it's Eitan's show. Eitan needs to, you know, I'm going to try to highlight Eitan as much as possible. I was on your side.
Absolutely.
I mean, at first I was like, well, it's not bad. I mean, it's not great by any standards because it's an impression.
Sure.
You're not, what's his name?
Frank Caliendo.
I actually thought, and if I'm not mistaken, I actually thought after I did the impression, it's not in the promo that we were airing, that I actually said, I don't even think that's a good Fauci, but it's the best I got.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't think it's the best. See, here's the thing. I think now after doing Fauci so long, you're probably much better at it, right? I
mean, He's really only done it the one time.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. That's it?
That's it.
It was just a one-time thing. You haven't done Fauci since? Now I feel bad. I feel part of it. You're in the promos like, well, now I'm self-conscious. I'm not doing that guy again. That's how I would be. Trust me. If I did a Christopher Walken and I heard Tony ripping me, I would never do it again.
Listen, you know what the thing is about impressions is anyone can do the extreme. It's when you do it. I always talked about this with Dick Vitale because everybody has a Dick Vitale impression. It's one thing when you do the diaper dandy baby, do the calm Dick Vitale rationally talking about something. If you can nail that, then well, that's where tough. I'm most. That's really tough to do.
Oh, Doris, let that's me tell right. you, great father, great kid.
You know, he has that kind of cadence to it, but he's
exactly.
But he's still crazy, even when he is rational and slow
yes.
now.
If you can nail the, you know, if you can nail the normalcy of it, that's even more impressive. So you're right about the Fauci. The Fauci, the best I can do is a morning show guy screaming about something Fauci.
But that doesn't that open up, and to Ron's point, we were going back and forth on this. It's just not really captured in the promo, but doesn't that...
No, I wanted to throw you completely under the bus.
Thank you. I appreciate that. As somebody who is straddling that line on both sides. But it does open up. Like, I do think that you sound like Fauci after he's been yelling. And there's clearly only one person who he's been yelling at. So.
Right. I'll put it this way. This is pre-coronavirus Fauci.
Right. Okay. I gotcha. All right.
Now we have coronavirus Fauci where he just looks beat and tired and
exhausted.
And he's like, I can't believe I have to say the same thing over and over and over again.
It's like anybody who runs and serves, right? I mean, you see the pictures of Obama 8 years before he comes into
right.
the office.
Oh,
eight
I know.
Years out. The man looks like he aged 25 years, 30 years.
It's incredible. It's incredible right? what they'll do.
You know how much plastic surgery the current guy is going to have to go through in order to look like it's not wearing on him. Every single person goes through that, and Fauci looks like he's just run four terms for president.
Well, I'm glad you're able to carve out some time in your busy day. You are one of the hardest working guys in the industry.
Well, that's kind of a myth now because
stop! You're like on television in the morning.
Well, everything's now done from home.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
And everything is small. Like, television is, you know, like a four. They tell you, we got 4 minutes, keep it short. 3 minutes, keep it short. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know how to keep things short. So those are just quick 3-minute hits, and maybe I'll do something, you know, once or twice a week. But now that's at my house. I don't have to drive. Normally I was commuting, and you know this area, so I'm about 20 minutes, 25 minutes with traffic and all north of downtown Center City, Philadelphia, where
Got
the
it.
Studio is. So I was driving, you know, an hour and 10 minutes for a 3-minute hit. And trust me, I wasn't getting, you know, any check or anything like that. But it's just the biggest morning news, the morning show. It's the only local one here for hours. And I'm thinking, all right, for branding is concerned. But now that you do everything from home, and you and I have been working from home for a while, but when you do everything else from home, you do realize that you have some, like, a lot of my time was spent driving to places,
right, exactly.
commuting to places.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? I still don't want to undercut the amount of work you're doing. I mean, I'm up really early, and sometimes I look and I go, he's tweeting he's doing a hit on a local, he's also on tonight. I was like, what is he doing?
So I have stretches where it's 5:45, 6:45, 7:45 are the time slots that I would do a TV hit. And 5:45 normally Eastern time is I'd have to wake up. I'd have to drive down there. I mean, I'm up at 4:30 and driving down to the studio. But now I can just roll in and do it. The problem is, and both of you can appreciate this, I did mornings twice in two separate times in my radio career, if you will. And I can't have a normal sleeping pattern. It just I can't go back to sleep. Like, I can't go to bed at 11 o'clock at night and wake up at, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock like a normal person. So I'm up all the time. 2:30, 3 o'clock, 4:30, whatever it is. It's just ridiculous. I'll go to bed now. This week I'm on a stretch of going to bed at like 7:45 at night. It's light out. It's light out, and I'm going to bed like, you know, I've had the blue plate special, and that's it for me. I can't survive anymore. After a Frank Costanza at 7:45, I'm out.
Eitan Shander joining us 11 to 1 right here on our network, and among other things. I did want to hit you up because Philadelphia, being close to a city like that, it is baseball crazy. What's the feeling there about this plan, about possibly coming back and no state, no fans? But how is that being received in a baseball nutty market?
Well, I think a lot of people here understand that because we're locked down, we're in quarantine, and stuff is slowly reopening. But the city itself of Philadelphia does not look like it's going to move from that red to yellow stage anytime really soon. So looking at it, you would think on the surface, well, people may just look around and think, well, we're quarantined. Why would baseball start? But there is a sense of just get back. But I do understand, And I think other people understand as well that the owners and players need to work this out, and it's not much, so much as driving a wedge or creating this line and saying, you know, who you got, players or owners. So I think for the most part, there is a pretty general acceptance here in Philadelphia that they want this team back, and they want to see half of a season of Bryce Harper, Rhys Hoskins, Aaron Nola. There are a lot of concerns and questions about the team itself, and maybe a shortened season will expose it even more. Maybe at the same time, you don't take as many risks as far as, you know, guys on the back end of a rotation. But I know Bryce Harper spoke on Fortnite and pretty much agreed with everything that Snell said. There is a general acceptance of guy, if Bryce Harper, Rhys Hoskins, if these guys come out, and Bryce would be the guy, and say, look, we need to return to baseball. You need baseball back, but it's not healthy. Fans will accept that for the most part. And when I say for the most part, I'm saying, you know, 75%, something like that. There are outliers everywhere. But there is general acceptance, Tony, of players recognizing a health concern with the same time of wanting the sport and the team to get back.
In terms of, I told people all the time, look, don't get all caught up in the economics. This is probably a starting point that gets worked out and gets processed, 50-50 revenue split. But, I mean, if you're going to battle against a salary cap for this year, I don't know if the optics look good, even though I may understand. Like, I've been under contract. I know you have, too. You want the contracts to be honored. I don't know if the optics look good if baseball says, we've got the safety okay, we're all good with that, but we're not going back because we don't like how we're getting paid.
When you say we, are you talking about the players or the owners?
From the fan standpoint. If fans are dying for baseball to come back and it's being held up over revenue, discussion of revenue, I don't know how that looks rather than saying, I don't want to go back because of safety.
Yeah, and I hate to ask.
If you bring up safety aspects of it, then you can say, I get it. But if somebody says, oh, I just want to make sure I get paid what I normally got paid, how do you think that looks in terms of the way the public goes, God, we've been wanting baseball to come back and now it's held up for money?
Well, I think the owners and the front office side, if you will, the sport, the league, is doing everything they can to control the PR narrative by making this about safety, putting out that 80-page pamphlet and essentially telling everybody, and that's what the goal will be over the next week, is to come back and say, hey, this thing is foolproof. From a safety standpoint, you're not going to get sick. Now you have to go out and tell the public that making $3 million isn't enough for you. And you have to go full Latrell Sprewell and say, I need to feed my family. Good luck with that, because we're in the middle of a pandemic. So I do think that there is pressure. That's a short-term leverage play that I do believe the league has, and they're trying to make that as airtight as possible, because who's going to argue with the safety thing? If players are like, look, it's unsafe, and the league makes it safe, then you can't really argue with the players or take the players' side anymore and say, look, they kind of fixed this thing. And then it goes back to money, and that's why I do agree. The optics won't look good, but at the same time, if you get the right players behind the money issue, and if you get the right big-name people behind it, it's going to soften the blow, I think, for fans, and it might even extend this whole back and forth.
Always good catching up with you, my friend. I hope we get chance to have a steak dinner again like we did in Atlanta a couple years ago.
Yeah, I was looking forward to the other spot there, so I was sorry to miss you, man, because I that was a highlight of that dinner, was being able to hang out and chat with you in person.
It was fun times.
A Fauci then.
No, not then. But
did
you
do any impersonation then? I forget. Did you do?
I don't
Who
remember.
Is your go-to impersonator? For me, it's Christopher Walken in King of New York, but that's it's very limited. In that, who is your go-to?
I don't really have one. I do,
outside of Fauci, of course.
Of course, I don't really have one, but I tend to do people I know really well, like friends and.
Can you do Ron Culver?
Oh, see, I've been working on that. It's hard. He doesn't really have an accent.
It's a lazy way to speak.
Yeah, Ron is definitely accentless, sans accent, and. Even that tone is tough to nail.
It's very tough to nail. Exactly.
You must not have got fun of it at all for how you spoke in high school.
Just so you guys know, even I can't do a good Ron Culver.
You know, it's very bizarre. My father is from Brooklyn, deep New York, still has the accent. My mother is from West Virginia, so it's even wild that I am even close to doing this.
Does she have the twang?
She does.
Okay, because not everybody does have that twang. I guess it depends on how rural you get.
Yeah, nice. Even at my age, there's an Anthony that comes from my father, and there's an Anthony that comes from my mother, and they're two totally different.
I could see you go in Brooklyn.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah. See?
I can see you.
Anthony, come over here for a second. I'll talk to you.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And then my mother would be like, Anthony, I need to, what are you talking about? And it's just, I don't know how that world
came together. That's a sitcom right there.
Know,
West Virginia
totally,
and Brooklyn.
It completely is. It was completely like that. Always good catching up with you, my friend.
Fellas.
We'll do it again soon. You got
likewise.
It.
Likewise. All right.
All right. It is Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, only got about a minute before we close out this hour. Glenn, thanks to Eitan Shander joining us. He's on from 11 to 1 here on the network. Does a lot of stuff. If you follow him on Twitter, and I recommend you do at Shander Show, he does a lot of stuff.
He's always working.
Very busy. Very busy guy building an incredible brand. I used to listen to him when I lived in New Jersey. It was Philly radio, and I used to listen to him a lot. I'd be driving around in the afternoon, and I would catch him. And then we met at the Super Bowl, and I was like, oh my god, you were my afternoon drive to various places that I would go around. So really, really intelligent, smart guy. And apparently does a very good Christopher Walken impression, which I got to get to next time he comes on the program. All right, it's Tony D. Ron Gulliver. It's Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.